Okay. I'd like to call to order the May 21st, 2015. All set? Okay, now I'd like to call to order the May 21st, 2015 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, if everybody will rise, we have a flag over here. We'll say Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, that's okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and welcome everybody tonight, and thank you, Mrs. McInnes, for hosting our meeting again. At this point, I need a motion to adopt the agenda. Motion by Mr. Pleasant. Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now it's time for our employees of the month. So I need a motion to approve Lori Kuntz as the classified employee of the month of April and Sherry Navy as the classified employee of the month for May.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Mrs. Powers. Second by Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Well, I know Lori couldn't be here this evening, but I still like to recognize and read why she was awarded this by her peers. Lori Kuntz is an aide at Bunzel Middle School. I can think of no one more deserving of the Employee of the Month than Lori Kuntz. Lori is a special education aide at Bunzel, but her job title is not limited to the extraordinary work she does for students and staff. During the first experience of online testing, Lori was ready for the challenge. We asked a lot of her, and she came through for students every time. Her dedication is absolutely exemplary. So congratulations to her. And then the next person, you have to come forward, Sherry.
Come on.
Yes, make her come up.
And make you stand up here and talk about you and... It's my only time to really embarrass people anymore since I'm not a principal, so you need to be up here. So it's my pleasure to share with you the comments that your peers said to recognize you for this award. So if you've ever, and I'll say a little personal note, if you've ever been to Raymond, sometimes it's not the easiest building to get into because of the airlock system, but Sherry is always on the ball, greets you with a smile, and certainly is a welcoming face for Raymond, so... on most days, Sherry is the only one in the office and must manage the phone, greet visitors, attend to students who are sick in the clinic, in addition to taking care of the day-to-day tasks in order to help the building run smoothly. She does all of this with a high level of effectiveness and a friendly smile. Sherry is also known for her resourcefulness. She works hard to make sure that the district funds are being spent in the most efficient manner. I wonder where you get that. She can always get the best deal. She loves to comparison shop and always gets the best deal. Raymond Elementary staff and students are fortunate to have Sherry working in the office. She definitely deserves to be recognized for all of her hard work and efforts to make Raymond Elementary a great place to be. Congratulations.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you very much. And we need a roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, looks like we have a presentation from the Early College High School. Mrs. McInnes.
So I pondered what I should talk to you about because I spent 6 months promising you about what I was going to do. So I thought I would start with just some statistics about the year and then answer any questions you have about what I might not have gotten. true. But so we started this year with 143 students in the class, and 38 of them were girls. Moving into next year, we have 151 students in the class, but I think the biggest factor is that we have 70 girls. So I think our young ladies did a really good job of saying this is a school that certainly works for either gender, and so I'm excited about that. We have, at the beginning of the year, we had made asked kids to make the commitment that they needed to stay the entire year. And at the end of the year, we had 9 students that wanted to return. And when we surveyed those kids, I felt really good about, we have one young lady that's very artistic, and she really just needs the fine arts that are offered at the high school. I have another student that loves history, and we have limited offerings in the history department, and that was something that he thought after a year he really wanted to try that. I had a couple that thought the pace was too fast here, but every one of them, well, that's not true. I had 2 young ladies that said the lunches were better at the high school. This is correct. So I think I can't compete with that. They really are. But I would say 7 of the 9 had solid, solid reasons that it wasn't that this didn't work. It was that the offerings were going to be better for them. So I felt like we had hoped to keep it under 10%, and at the beginning, we'd gone to some conferences with the Ohio STEM Learning Network, and they were like, ooh, STEM schools, your first 2-3 years, you should expect about 20%. So I feel like we really did a good job of keeping that the kids that we took this year were really the kids that should be here. And when we started, we talked about, well, who are those kids? And that was our answer. It's the kids that want to come are the kids that should be here. And we worked really hard again this year to say, we're inclusive. You know, we don't look at grades. We don't look at, we just, if you want to be here and you think this kind of learning is for you, it's going to work. So I'm hoping that 151 we have about them, the same idea that kids are really solidly here when they come. So in our freshman classes, and I don't have all the answers, we had 100% of our students pass Algebra 1. I'm not going to say that wasn't without Brooke Young's efforts, that just by sheer will they were going to do it. She dogged them to death. She called them at home. She had them come in on snow days. But I think that's impressive. 92% enrolled past physical science, and then we offered a boot camp for students that had. So that's a little higher. I don't have the rest of our courses. I don't know about geometry, but it looks like right now that we're easily in the 90s. And I think one of the things with mastery learning this year, this was a surprise to me, and that I sort of assumed if we gave kids multiple opportunities to learn things, that we would always have 100% passage of everything. In retrospect, that was probably stupid, but because we really didn't. But I feel like it wasn't. I always think that if kids don't pass something, it's just because they haven't learned it. But I will say there are occasions when they just haven't done it as well. And so we have some kids that will repeat some courses this with us next year. But for the most part, I'm pretty pleased with the way kids have attended to that. We had 143 of them complete their first college course with Columbus State, which was a study skills class. We enrolled them in November. It was probably one of the worst experiences of my life trying to enroll 14-year-olds on an online college application. They didn't know their social security numbers. They said they weren't American citizens, at which point that triggers Columbus State wanting a copy of their birth certificate. They made up things for selective service numbers. It was, we'll be much better next year. We learned a lot about enrolling students. We took 24 days to test, which is almost a month. We gave 51 tours to outside groups. We had people come from Alabama. We've had people come from out of state. It's been, certainly people have wanted to see what we're doing. A lot of times I was worried that I wasn't sure what we were doing when they would come. You know, people would call and say, well, we'd like to see a high-performing school, a high-performing innovative school. I said, I feel like we're doing some innovative things. We don't have any evidence yet that we're high-performing, but certainly people seemed pleased and really have invited us to come and talk about what we're doing here. So that was pretty cool. We had 60 kids that we used the ACT Aspire as a benchmarking tool in the fall. And when we got our results back, we looked at kids that appeared to be, by their projection, college ready. So we gave them the Compass test for Columbus State, and we have 60 kids that are ready for college English next year as sophomores. And that's really pretty impressive that I'm not sure that they all should take it. Just because you're ready doesn't mean you're always emotionally ready to do that as well. But I still think that, you know, for Columbus State, that's sort of the benchmark, the gateway class. That if you can take that college English course, you can take lots of other classes after that. So we have at least 60 then that have received a letter saying, let us know if you want to do that. Pathway requests I thought were sort of interesting, both in the class, our freshmen and our rising freshmen and our sophomores, that you can see our kids are pretty well split, which makes me feel like we do have the right things set up for our students, that we had 44 students in health sciences next year, 50 engineering and advanced manufacturing, 43 and 38, and then the IT pathway, 26 and 48 is a little higher in the rising freshman class. And then we have students that are either unsure or really just like the STEM pedagogy. They like math and science classes. They're not necessarily wed to one of those pathways. And for them, they might just take different classes.
Seeing that you have 44, health is a new area of graduate.
Right.
Would that have been a factor that influenced the gender ratio?
Possibly, but when I look, it doesn't, like, if I look at those, it's not like I have more girls in the health sciences in either one. They're pretty well split in, well, probably actually in my rising sophomore class, there's still more boys. There's no way that, but I don't know. I mean, maybe that was a factor, but it didn't seem, really, the IT pathway really seems to be gender heavy in girls a little more, which is sort of interesting, but. So some of the things that we did with students this year, we had students that got to present at the Straight A Governing Board, which was really pretty exciting. I had kids that served as hosts for our open house. They represented us at Honda. With Rocky Grimes, we have kids that are working in the go-kart therapy project, which is really neat, and they're really enjoying it. And we have some internships set up with a venture capital firm in Columbus this year for a couple students. So certainly I think our kids are all in about what they're doing here, and they represent us really well when they have a chance. I've had lots of groups that, after their kids have given tours, have said, you know, your kids have really done a nice job, and I sincerely can say I could ask any of our kids speak to the type of learning that's here. It's not like I'm picking the very best kids to give tours, that they all can really talk about what it's like to be a student here, and I that has been, I think, really wonderful. Some of the accomplishments that I think this year we have done a good job with. I think we've continued with partnerships that certainly the partners that we have, our thought partner like EdWorks or Columbus State that we and Honda, we've worked really hard with those. But I think there's been other groups that have approached us and said, how can we work? You know, 2 weeks ago I was at Honda to meet with Women in Engineering, and they talked about a mentorship with our students and what they could do. For a long time they launched into the type of math that they used, which is sort of like Swahili when they were talking to me. But I was like, yes, this seems important. This is good. But, so I think there are lots of ways that they want to be involved, and I think we'll continue with that. I think we did a good job with mastery learning. There were certainly to use standards-based assessment and really have kids work on mastery, one of the most powerful things is it really changed all of our conversations to be about the learning. Kids never came and asked about a grade. They always came and asked about what they hadn't learned. And so I think that was really powerful, that conversations and their parents' conversations were not about grades. It's about what do they need to do to master these certain standards. And so I think we did a good job there. I think we really tried to embed STEM pedagogy, that inquiry-based, that reasoning, that collaborative work in a lot of the things that we did. And we'll continue to do that. I think we worked hard on our habits of mind. We emphasized those in everything that we did. A couple weeks ago, I was in Mrs. Chapman's office, in the guidance office, and kids were outside playing Foursquare. And they threw a ball went up on the roof. And so they don't know I'm watching them, and they take the bike rack and try to turn it so that it can be a ladder to get on the roof. And I'm trying to roll down the window, and I'm like, stop, stop, you can't do that. And they're like, wait, we're being resilient and outside-the-box thinkers. I'm like, don't use my words against me. Put it down. And certainly I think to personalize education is a lot easier when you have one class of freshmen, but I think we worked hard to meet the needs of individual students, to redo schedules when we need to give them additional time, to give them some opportunities to do some things different way. And I really think that kids here have a strong sense of community about the school. They're proud of the school. They are a part of here. There isn't a night that at 4:30 or 4:45 I don't have to say to kids, go home. Just please go home. But it is really nice that they will stay here. One of my teachers says, well, maybe that will change when they all can drive. But really right now, there's not a night that I don't kick them out. I think we certainly have some challenges. Now, I realize I put mastery learning on both columns, but I also think it was a challenge for us to be able to use Schoology and PowerSchool to communicate grading to parents. It was extremely difficult with mastery. It's not as easy as saying, you took a test, you've done this, this is your grade. It's this is your grade today. Tomorrow, if you redo some things, resubmit some things, take the feedback you're given, that grade might change. So it was a learning curve for us and a learning curve for parents. And I think one of the things that we never considered, but certainly if students get timely feedback, for example, I'll use English as an example. So if Mrs. Hinderer had 100 essays and she gave each student feedback on it, and then those kids gave her back that essay and gave her back that essay possibly 3 or 4 times, instead of grading 100 essays, she's graded those essays 3 more times, so she's graded them 400 times. So grading for us, we had to manage about, well, what does that look like if we're giving targeted feedback? It changes what we do. Again, I mentioned it was hard for parents to figure that out. I think it's absolutely right-minded, and we're just going to continue to tweak it, but certainly I think that was a challenge. I think College Credit Plus, how that's going to impact us. I feel like every day we were trying to figure out what was really happening so we could communicate it with parents. I think as we grow larger, how do we continue, and certainly it's on all of our conversations about how do we continue to personalize things for students, make their pathways important. And I think honoring the commitment of being a STEM and early college high school, there's a promise that we've made to share what we have done. But 50 tours a year, if that continues when the staff gets bigger and stuff, it's we have to figure out a better way to manage that. And I think sometimes with the STEM pedagogy, my staff and I have talked a lot about, maybe we don't do things the same way. Maybe we have teachers that that help develop some of these things for us, and they don't teach a full day at some point. So I think we'll certainly look at some hybrid uses of staffing and trying to do things that maybe are a little bit different. So I want to end with a video that I hope that you will love the music, but because I can't make it go. Okay, that we showed to rising freshmen, that when we showed them. But I think I also love, you can see sort of the transformation of the school, because you'll see the first couple weeks with nothing in here. And I promise it's only 2 minutes. Thank you. I want to thank Mr. Dice. At the beginning of the year, I know that Mrs. Mankins asked him several times where the T was in STEM. So the fact that we can actually show videos and the T really is in STEM now, and that's been a wonderful thing, too. Do you guys have questions for me?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I don't have a question, but I just think it's amazing that this is just the first year. You know, when you think that you opened the doors back in August with the building that was not done. And the way that everybody worked together and got through those things. And, you know, I was just on one of those tours last week. My dad brought some people from Bowling Green, my alma mater, and it's just... I mean, it's amazing. And are you going to have time? Do you guys have any time to go and visit other places yourselves?
Well, and we've talked about that, you know, like before, like we did some of that earlier. And I really appreciated when we applied for and received STEM designation, it was a bigger deal than I think we thought at the beginning that it was, because certainly that association with other STEM schools has been pretty amazing. And I feel like we have that kind of support. Like, we're going to go in June. There's a meeting of, like, the Central Ohio STEM schools to talk about, well, how do you manage visitors and stuff like that? What are they doing? What is ESTEM doing, what's Metro doing, actually Biomed from Canton is going to come. And so I like that association. I think that's helped us look at what other STEM schools have done as well. And I've appreciated that support that they've offered as well.
And you also, you guys are working on some, you got approved to investigative research into some other assessment
that we applied for a waiver the state, and the state conditionally approved the waiver. Right now, the STEM schools and the ILN, which are the Innovative Learning Network schools, we have to send one waiver to the feds together. And so right now we're looking at that. What we proposed was to give ACT end-of-course exams. It's that they're immediate. They're really at the end of the course. They're 90 minutes. You get your results. They're proven tests that that we could use. So we'll have to wait and see if that indeed happens. And then we would do the problem-based. We would use those for teacher assessment. I mean, that was what the teachers would use for growth and progress as well. So we'll see. But
well, congrats.
How's the identity? Like, I remember at the beginning of the year there was some fuzziness about what is the identity both within the district and without. I'm wondering if do you feel that people in the community are understanding better now, a year in, what's actually going on here and what the school's about?
I do. I think it was so much easier this year with parents and students to be able to show them and to really articulate. We could do a couple things. Who was successful here? I mean, we could really talk about the kinds of kids that are successful here. And really, even though we'll probably only go a year at a time, we can talk a little bit more about programming than we really could last year. I can't say enough for our freshman parents who also took a leap of faith that came and said, yes, we will try this. I had a meeting last night for incoming freshman parents if they had questions. Well, my first meetings last year, I always had everybody here. Last night I had about 55, and they didn't have questions that were, they were pretty normal. Talk to me about how this is going to work. They weren't, and I guess maybe I could answer more of them. I think I spent a lot of time in front of people the first year saying, I don't know. I mean, I cut that down to about 50% of my answers now. I don't know, but that I think has helped. And I think also it's easier to talk about our pathways now and how they're going to work. So I do think that is becoming easier.
Could you talk about your role with the STEM schools next year?
So, and that was sort of nice. This year, Mr. Worth and I both went to a STEM Leadership Council and spent three or four times throughout the year meeting with all of these STEM schools from the state. So next year they've asked me, which, again, I feel a little bit like a fraud, but they asked me if I would run some of those classes for new incoming STEM leaders. Again, with the caveat, all right, but I don't really know that much. And I don't mind saying that. I think I learned a lot this year. And I'm excited about that continued association with them. Our teachers, our staff is going to present at the Patel Connect for Success conference in June. They were asked to present about opening up a STEM school, so they're all going to go and present. So that's
great.
Exciting too.
Oh, that's really impressive.
Have been asked to do that, and I'm sure they'll do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have public participation. And just to remind everybody, you have 3 minutes to speak. And we'll let you know probably, I don't know, I'll ask Todd to kind of give you a warning when you're getting close to that 3 minutes. And if you would just state your name. It looks like we have one person on here, Mr. Jason Coltrider. You're supposed to state your name and give your address.
Eric Justin Coltrider, 1201 Sassafras Lane here in Marysville. I already timed myself, so I'm a minute and a half. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
You can speak slowly. Speak slowly then. No.
Okay. Good evening, members of the board. My name is Justin Coltrider. I'm joined here tonight by my wife, Heather, and our daughter, Emily. We've come this evening for two reasons regarding high school bus transportation. One, for an answer to our central question, and two, to propose an alternative which we believe would benefit high school students impacted by the so-called walking radius. This alternative will address the safety concerns for students and their families at no additional cost to the district. To begin with our question, we do not understand the motivation of creating a separate policy for 9 through 12 that is in measurable contrast to the state's K through 8 transportation policy other than having the authority to do so. Why have a separate policy which has not been produced as stated within the FAQ to date to us? Why have a separate policy for 9 through 12 which is so inconsistent with the state K through 8 policy that is working? Lastly, we propose an option for students and parents with safety concerns of walking down Amron Road or crossing over US 33 via pedestrian bridge. Allow students the option to either walk to school or to walk to the nearest bus stop within their community they feel safe getting to. This would both solve the safety concerns and not add additional cost to district transportation, as buses are already half full for high school students. A win-win for all involved. And we thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your suggestion, and maybe if you could email that to us so that we got it in writing and we appreciate it.
Answer to the first question.
We're here to listen to your comments tonight, and so I can touch base with you maybe at a later time.
But that's, anyway, I threw in, so I don't mean to protest on
that's
that.
Okay.
But we've been through this many times, and I'm just looking for one simple, solitary answer to that question. You know, there's a state K through 8 policy. I'm not disputing your authority to make a 9 through 12 policy, but the stance to us has been that it is an inconsistent policy, that's why this is being changed, and the most inconsistent thing is what you have done. That's all I have to say.
Well, I appreciate your opinion. Okay. Thank you. Well, with that, we will move on to the superintendent's report.
This will be the literacy coaches. So 2 years ago, we moved to a system due to the issues with our PI fund. Obviously, we were not always able in a financial position to purchase new textbooks in the district. I believe in language arts, it might have been almost 15 years since there was a purchase, especially at the high school, if I'm not mistaken. So one of the things we started, I guess it was last year with math, we started a textbook cycle. So we're now on a cycle in which every department knows the work they're doing in the year to prepare for their year of adoption. So 1 year might be planning, 1 year might be writing assessments, so on and so forth. So that's all laid out. And then every year, every department also knows K-12 when their adoption year is. So they have the year before to order in samples, play around with those, see what they like, see what they don't like. and have teachers involved in that process. So it was very successful for math. Language arts is this year. So the coaches are here, or some of the coaches are here, to talk to you about what they've done this year and the purchases that we're actually prepared to make for language arts. Kathy, or...
So I'm Andy Loftus. I'm literacy coach for the middle and high schools, and my colleague.
I'm Kathy Savage. I'm the literacy coach for the elementary schools. And Shelly Mullaney could not be here tonight. Her daughter is graduating from preschool, and so that's a really big and exciting moment for her that she didn't want to miss. So I will be covering her slides for the Creekview and for part of her elementary.
So first, when we started on this journey well over a year ago, it was important for us to make the most of this opportunity to get materials that we're going to address not only our current needs, but really kind of look ahead. And so in all of our buildings, we spent time surveying staff and having discussions about what those needs were really going to be so that we could make sure that we were looking at the right products, the right materials that were going to serve our students. You'll see in our presentation that we really could narrow down those needs to four basic ideas. First, having digital resources that were going to not only assist our students in 21st century skills, but give them practice, give them authentic learning opportunities that were going to allow them to interact with texts online, utilize some of the test-taking skills that we saw coming with PARC exams, for example, giving students the resilience to read more than one page at a time online. Those kinds of things really bubbled up to the top. We wanted a program that would balance literacy with nonfiction and fiction, integration. There's a huge push right now for nonfiction, but it was important to us, especially as ELA teachers, to see that balance and that the nonfiction and the fiction were put together in an authentic way so that students were learning about both at the right time. We wanted a program or materials that are going to promote rigorous content mastery. We know with Common Core, and we knew with the pending, you know, PARC exams, that students were going to be asked to do more with their literacy skills than they ever have in the past. So we need materials that are going to help us encourage that kind of learning. And then, of course, we need a differentiation that's going to help us reach all of our learners. So we have a wide array of students in our classrooms every day, some who are functioning at very different levels. And it's important for us to be able to meet all of them where they are, when they come in the door, and then help grow them to new levels, new heights that they weren't expecting.
Okay, so what you see on the screen are some of the things that we are proposing for the K-4 elementary buildings. The first item on the list is the Lucy Calkins Units of Study in Writing and Reading. As a district, we have utilized Lucy Calkins in the past. She's great with her programs of study for writing. She now has the new updated version for Common Core, which allows students to focus on opinion, narrative, and informational writing. The units of study are based on mentor textbooks, which teachers can refer to throughout the units of study. And then there's also an option for reading units of study. We decided to purchase, if we're able to, one set of those for the coaches to support in the buildings. The second item up there is big books. And with the addition of All Day Everyday Kindergarten, we are very excited about that. We're still on cloud nine with that decision. So we feel like big books are, if you're not familiar with them, they're enlarged texts. And teachers, you know, call the students up to the class and they kind of crowd around the book. And we teach those very foundational literacy skills, such as concepts about print. So we teach, you know, children where do we start reading, where, you know, here's how we point to each word as we read, and just really helping them develop those skills together with our instructional strategies. So we were adding additional big books for All Day Every Day and our regular kindergarten teachers so that they have some new updated titles to, improve their professional development as well. Book room books, those are our leveled sets. Every elementary has a book room that has sets A to Z, depending on, you know, where a student is reading. So we're going to add especially a large section of levels A through I, which meets kindergarten and first grade needs. Because with All Day Every Day, they're going to be reading lots more books, and it's going to overlap into some of those first grade levels now that they're here All Day Every Day. So we really want to make sure that teachers have the resources that they need for that. Mentor text sets would be for K-4. Those are kind of exemplar texts that we use to teach reading and writing. So for reading strategies like comprehension, vocabulary, all of those things. So the teacher reads those books out loud and then they reread them several times. We revisit those for many lessons. And then for writing, we use those books to study authors' craft. So what did this author do in his writing that's unique that you might try in your writing today? That kind of a thing. Mentor text we've used in the past, and we're very excited to have some new, fresh, updated titles that challenge teachers' thinking and gives them something new and fresh to work with. And then Success Maker, we're looking at that for our special ed population, for the resource room students only. And it's an online program that has, I've got some notes here on that. It progress monitors, it looks at students at an individual level, analyzes and gives targeted benchmarks, and it complements the instruction that our special education teachers are already providing in the classroom. So students do not have to get on the computer and stay on there the entire lesson. It's more of a resource where they can go on a few times a week and support what they're doing in the classroom. I think that it's a great thing because it's something different that we need. We need to look at the data for our special ed population, and that is an area that we need to grow. And so I think that this fits nicely with the instruction that they're providing, as well as giving them an opportunity to do something different that will support specific skills that they need to work on. So that's where we're at for K-4. 5-6, this is Shelby Mullaney's area at Creekview, and she is also looking, we are looking at the Lucy Calkins Units of Study for Writing for 5-6, so that's actually K-6. And then the Unit of Study for Reading for her 5th grade teachers as a support. And then they are also looking at additional book room books. They really are in need of shorter nonfiction texts, and so we're going to look and see what we can do to support their teachers with their book room books. And then they are also, this is very exciting, looking into an online resource called LightSail. And it's kind of like a Netflix for books. So it's very similar to maybe going online and checking out books from a library. And I took some specific notes because Shelley was really, really engaged in figuring this all out, because the Creekview teachers are very excited about this. So students are engaged in their own level of text. For independent reading, teachers can use it and push out books to guided reading groups. They can use it for literature circles or book studies. It's very much like that social media format where students can collaborate and work together, and the teacher can comment, and they can have conversations. It comes with assessments that has immediate data that will help the teachers drive their instruction. So they're very excited about that. And then the last thing on their list is something called Islet, and that's, again, something that's going to support special education population and resource rooms. And Islet, what we were looking at district-wide for special ed is having an intervention that's consistent throughout the district. So what we have right now is, you know, we've got certain special ed teachers using RAS kids or certain special ed teachers using this, and we really felt like we needed to support them with a consistent intervention that's going to provide us with data on specific skills that they need to work on, and we can look at that data and analyze it and figure out how else to better support those students. So with Islet, it's really awesome because it supports the balanced literacy thinking that we have as a district, because it gives the students an opportunity to have independent reading material, fiction and nonfiction. It also gives them an opportunity to listen to read alouds, and it has an interactive reading component where they can go in and do some close reading skills with highlighting and, you know, identifying vocabulary and that kind of thing. And then it also has a daily writing component, which we felt was really, really important for those students to support in that area. It adapts to student level. It provides data and reporting, and it's broken down by skill. So you can get in there and really look at what a student needs and how they're progressing, which I think is what we're looking at as a district to support those students.
On that LightSail, is that, when you said it's kind of like Netflix, mm-hmm. does the staff, I mean, is it just like an endless supply of text, or
you have to like purchase the text?
Okay.
And they have different categories. It comes mm-hmm. with a free section of text that you can purchase. Mm-hmm. It comes with something called what was the special word that we were
it was a new word that I've never heard of before.
proprietary, something that means endless. Like once you buy it, you can use it forever. Yes, it was a very interesting word. We had all never heard it before. But once you purchase a book, you keep that book forever, so we'll always have access to that, even after the 6 years of the adoption is up and we're no longer, you know, purchasing life sale if we choose not to. We still have access to those books. Another great thing about it is the students can use their own digital devices at home, and so they have access to those materials at home, which is amazing. So, and then we also have some technology we're adding. We're hoping to add 2 Chromebook carts to support
So we
decided that the literacy coaches and specialists in the district would choose the books that they would have an opportunity to select from. So we would purchase the book titles that we felt were quality, and then students can go on and they can, for independent reading, it actually pops up books that are, it gives a little lightning bolt to show like exactly what's at their level so that they know which books are appropriate for them based on an introductory session. We can even utilize our BAS, which is our Fountas and Pinnell benchmarking system for how we determine what level a student's on. We put those levels in and then they kind of go through a stage that helps figure out if the Lexi level's correct for them, and then it gives them their options for what books are perfectly for their independent reading level, which is awesome. Yeah. So very exciting. I mean, I think that students, especially at Creekview, you know, it will be really engaged with
All right, then, let's move on to 7 through 12. So at 7 through 12, we're really busy planning for the upcoming one-to-one rollout that we know is coming in phases mm-hmm. over the next couple of years. And that really dictated that we needed to look at resources that were going to be available not only in print at first, but then available digitally as well. So at 7-8, we did a couple of pilots, but then found a McGraw-Hill product called StudySync, which is a mixture of online and print text. It has some traditional units, but also a lot of teacher flexibility in how they pair text and actually differentiate for levels. It's intended to be an all-online program, but they also recognize the needs to still build students' literacy skills, close reading skills. So they offer a student consumable with it that comes with the program, so that students are going to get each year with this program a workbook with texts in it that the teachers can choose on a year-to-year basis, and they get to annotate and they get to write in those, so that we're encouraging those same skills but then still practicing online with the online component. Success Maker, we're hoping to also make available for some additional remediation if necessary at grades 7 and 8, so that hopefully we'll be able to take advantage of those seats that might still be available to us. When we get to the high school, grades 9 and 10 fell in love with the Pearson Common Core Literature Program. Similar in that we're going to look at both online availability and in-class texts. So their textbooks are going to come more like a traditional textbook in the classroom, but the online program allows teachers to read a variety of texts within the unit, assign different activities or writing opportunities. There's also assessment opportunities that teachers can tailor to whatever is going on in their classroom, and give students some of that online practice, not only in engaging with the text, but then answering some questions and doing some online tasks with it. So that's what they really enjoyed about this program. We're also going to add class sets of No Fear Shakespeare, which is a side-by-side version of Romeo and Juliet, where they have original text, and then they also have some adapted text to go with it, and additional analytical questions and whatnot. So they've used this resource before and found it to be very valuable in introducing students to Shakespeare. So we're going to invest in some class sets for grade 9. We are also going to make use of the iLit program for our grade 9 resource classroom. This program is very prescriptive in nature, that it will help our students address the skill gaps that we know they may still have. So our resource teacher was very interested in implementing that there in grade 9 and then being able to phase students back into more traditional units of instruction for grade 10. So a way of activating them to the high school and increased demands while still addressing those skill gaps. When we get to grade 11, our AP classes and our regular 11 classes are ordering a Norton book, which is called Back to the Lake. Norton Publishing is traditionally recognized in the collegiate world. They produce a lot of collegiate level textbooks. So we're very excited that they have started coming into secondary education, because then we're starting to introduce students to that college and career ready reading opportunities. Back to the Lake is a collection of essays that go with the English 11 thematic units that they teach, and it's going to offer more nonfiction opportunities, but also ways for them to integrate, authentically integrate some text evidence into their writing based on some of the units of instruction and the writing opportunities that English 11 already offers. They've not been able to access this book before, so this is a very exciting purchase for them. We just recently found out as well that teachers will also have accessibility to the ebook. So we're going to try and, as much as we can, take advantage of those online opportunities as well. I'm sure you'll see the common theme for every grade level. Once we get to grade 12, the English department is redesigning what English 12 looks like for our seniors. The first half of the year is going to address some specific writing needs, but then students have choices in the second semester. And so with those choices, we have three different courses that we're offering to them that are requiring different texts from us. So we have found a science fiction anthology that's going to support what would be a science fiction elective component there. We have a film course, writing about film course, and the teachers were not comfortable with one book, so I liked their approach. They want to order a set of 5 or 6 books about writing about film and how to engage in film analysis, and they're going to use those teacher resources together to plan their own course and let it evolve over time, since this is new. The last option that we're going to pick up for grade 12, we are replacing the AP books with a newer edition. I believe it's 4 editions newer from what they have already in the classroom, and we're going to be able to get hardcover books at a pretty good price. So everybody's happy to definitely refresh, but you know, we've got a lot of looking ahead to try and balance some of what we already have right now with knowing that students will have increased technology availability for them in the schools. So, did you guys have any questions for me about 7 through 12?
No, I'd just like to make a comment. I mean, I met with the English department last year, and we talked a lot about developing some choice at that 12th grade year, so super excited to see that come to fruition. I know they were excited in thinking that way, but glad to see that that's there.
And the students are so excited. So that was a little bit unexpected for them when we moved in that direction, and they took student interest into account with surveys and whatnot before they decided on the courses they would offer and before students registered for the courses. So we're glad that this has also sparked some great excitement for the students as well.
Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate all the time and thought that obviously has gone into this. So, and like you said, the forward thinking, you're kind of building on what's happened in the past and really thinking about the future. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was going to say that having been involved with this is not easy work.
I agree.
And particularly trying to get people to come to agreement on material. But I like the materials that you've selected. I see a nice progression from K-12 in terms of what students are going to be presented with and what the challenges are going to have to overcome.
Thank you. I know that some of you have been able to access this, but we can make the resources available for you as well. So if you guys do have any questions, you're welcome to contact us, or of course, you have any answers.
Great. Okay.
Let me throw him up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian, next question.
One of you mentioned.
I'm sorry.
one of you mentioned balance between fiction and nonfiction. I didn't quite catch what you were saying about what the issue was or what your philosophy was.
I think right now, with Common Core standards being adopted across the nation, but also in preparation for the PART testing that we heard coming for so long, there's been a huge push for increased nonfiction reading, and sometimes that has happened at the expense of the ELA classroom. And we really wanted to make sure that we didn't get rid of all the fiction. That there are lots of literacy opportunities in the science classroom, in the social studies classroom, in the math classroom, in unified arts classrooms. So we wanted some resources that were going to give us focused connection between fiction and nonfiction, not random nonfiction articles or texts, but rather those that are going to connect thematically or those that are going to go together on a very specific topic, so that we're showing students how to read like an adult would, balancing what we are curious about with the fiction and then gaining the information that goes with that to support it in the nonfiction.
The recommendation has really been to make a switch to 80-20 by the time students are in high school, 80% nonfiction. Which has not been the traditional approach of K-12 education, but I think Angie did a nice job in saying that the job of reading just isn't as a part of English class, it's a part of science class, and a part of, and great teachers are teaching those strategies on how you're looking for, you know, bold-faced words, and you're jumping into science content, and it's more of a, you know, a whole picture instead of just the English department's responsibility.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Reminder, graduation, 7 o'clock. Super excited. It's always a great time of year. I know the high school it can be a bit stressed at this time, maybe, as things are winding down, but excited to celebrate with the senior class on Saturday evening. Still think we're anticipating good weather, so let's keep that at the forefront. Let's hope for that. Wanted to share with you a couple of things. Since we last met May 8th, I had the opportunity to present some of the things that Marysville Schools are doing to the Columbus Chamber of Commerce on Government Day. It was very successful. I had the opportunity to sit on a panel with Amy Kennedy from Battelle for Kids and Dr. Washington from Franklin University, talking about different options that now are present for high schools and higher education to collaborate. So it was a very positive experience and feedback and a variety of people in the crowd. So great opportunity. As well, I believe it was last week, we hosted a Union County CEO roundtable here at the Early College Building, where we talked a bit about this building, but the major focus was on Otterbein and the beginning of a new MBA program for Union County. And the idea is really for, they've restructured their MBA program, but they also want additional feedback from our industry leaders and CEOs, and they're willing to Union County eyes their MBA program to make it make sense for the people right here in town. So what they want their employees to have, they're willing to change some of the courses or make it specific to the industry here or the needs of our employers. So pretty unique opportunity. They hope to kick that off not this coming fall, but the next fall. I know there were several business contacts made at that meeting, so there would be another way that Otterbein would use this building in the evening. So good opportunity as well. Additionally, we hosted the Joyce Foundation. Joyce Foundation is looking to fund Pathways to Prosperity projects through Columbus State Community College. So they went on the road and saw several examples, and they were able to come here. Kathy provided tour guides. I would also say that they were very impressed with the students and the students' ability to talk about their experience here and the opportunities here. So Joyce Foundation is certainly a great connection to have and be invested with. So hopefully they are going to make an investment in the Pathways Project with Columbus State. And last, my monthly update on kindergarten registration, we are up to 313 students enrolled in all-day, everyday K today.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Good work. I like hearing about all those presentations. Treasurer's report.
Okay. For my presentation, I'll be presenting the second reading of the May 5-year forecast. It'll be a relatively short presentation. It's very similar to what we presented last month. Revenue didn't change at all. We did update expenditures based on our salary reopener. So we've added in on the salary and benefits side. That's where the numbers have changed. And that's part of what we'll be considering later is the 1.5% raise to the base, and then as well as a step. So that is included in the forecast. You can see, looking at the revenue versus expenditures, one of the lines we always like to point to. Really, it's still the same. We meet our cash balance policy through fiscal year 18. In fiscal year 19, we have expenditures exceeding revenue. With the change, it just exceeds a little more. This is the ending cash balance based on the forecast that we presented last month. You can see there in fiscal year 19, the little red bar going below, that's showing the expenditures exceeding revenue. So looking in the current forecast, that bar gets a little bit lower. In numbers, the salary line, that was an increase of $438,000 compared to the previous forecast, an additional $67,000 on the benefits line. So that's the impact on fiscal year 16. Those numbers basically flow through the forecast, so that's basically the impact in each year. But as I said, it's still a very strong, healthy forecast. We're still kind of in the middle of an upward trend where we're building on our cash balance. We've got expenditures exceeded by revenue in each year through fiscal year 19. So still a very stable forecast. Like to point out, our levy history, and based on the projections in the current forecast, with the most recent levy, it was said that, we'll make this levy last through fiscal year 16. We won't be back anytime before that. With this current forecast and the projections, if they hold true, we'll meet that promise and then go several years beyond. The biggest risk to those projections, at least in my opinion, is the state budget. What the legislature decides to do with the tangible personal property tax reimbursement, could heavily impact the forecast. We've been, very active. The community, our staff, has been very active in kind of somewhat of a grassroots effort to educate and persuade the local legislators, as well as legislators across the state. The budget is currently being considered in the Senate, and from what I hear, they kind of, instead of looking at the governor's version and tweaking, or the House version and tweaking, they kind of decided to just create their own version. So it's really hard to tell where we're going to end up from there. They're going to be voting on a final version early June. I still haven't heard an exact date, but that still gives us plenty of time to keep the letters and the emails and the phone calls and meetings flowing to the legislators. So we'll definitely be keeping that push going. That's all. Any questions?
I just wanted to comment, and I had sent you the email today because I had a chamber board meeting this morning, and Commissioner Stolte was talking about that TPP, because it doesn't just affect the schools, it affects the townships and county revenues and stuff, and some of them really significantly. I mean, he was quoting a couple of townships that were going to lose 50% of their funding if they eliminate that TPP reimbursement. So thank you for sending out that letter. I think the whole district received a letter that you can send out to senators, and he included the list of contacts. So we certainly encourage people to make those connections. So thank you.
Thank you.
Were you going to say anything about the bond refunding or no? Or was that
I
later?
I can mention that now. It's fine.
Okay.
I think at a previous meeting, I had mentioned that we were looking at a bond refunding. So that we are moving forward with that. This week, we have our rating calls where the rating agencies look at our district, you know, how we've changed, can we keep our rating, or can we, you know, hopefully increase our rating a little bit. So we've already had one rating call. We've actually got another one tomorrow afternoon. So those are, the first one went well. And then from there, and I think we're looking at a potential sale date right at the beginning of June. So by our next meeting, I should be able to give you, where our actual savings numbers came in. And, you know, what the impact of that was.
Good. Thank you. Questions? All right. Let's see. Get all my papers here. My report now. I know we're going to talk about it later. We're going to be talking about our negotiations, the result of our negotiations. But I just wanted to say again how I thought it was just a really nice, collaborative, respectful negotiations. We had some good conversations, and also I thought it was great. We had the supplemental schedule got updated. That's way overdue. So again, I just appreciate everybody working together and hopefully coming to an agreement that makes everyone happy. Mr. Smith and I attended the Board Leadership Institute. Keynote speaker was Dr. James Mahoney of Patel for Kids. He was the keynote speaker the first day, and thought it was kind of interesting because he had encouraged districts to raise expectations, look for ways to work with others, and respect our teachers. And I felt like we kind of hit it on every level. We also attended a variety of breakout sessions, and always get some good information there. So that was a good thing for us to do. And then National Honor Society attended that induction. I think they had a record of 50 new inductees. Also attended the high school awards ceremony, and it's so impressive to see those kids and hear about all the wonderful things they're doing. So we're proud of them. And then, like I said, I was at the Chamber of Commerce meeting this morning. One thing I wanted to point out is that on May 29th, the Partners Park, we're going to have a delegation from Japan. I think they're actually coming in on the Wednesday night before that. So they'll be here Thursday, and I haven't really heard any details, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be in our school district some.
Yes, they are.
And so then they're also going to be at the Partners Park. That's going to be combined with the Friday nights uptown. There's going to be lots of entertainment, so that'd be a great time for people to come down and just have a nice Friday night. Let's see. And we also talked about the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. This is really exciting. Chaz Patel from the Marysville Entrepreneur Center has been working with the Chamber of Commerce, Eric Phillips, and they are going to be bringing in this Young Entrepreneurs Academy. It's a 30-week program. It will be one night a week from 4 to 7 p.m., and the class can take up to 24 students. There will be a fee, but right now they're thinking that it's just $195, which I think is pretty amazing. And it's for incoming 7th through 12th graders. So keep your ears open. I think they have come. I know they've come. They've presented to freshmen at the high school, and they've presented here to the early college high school. And Mr. Patel said that at the high school, when they got done with the presentation, they told them that there were going to be applications in the office, and they hadn't taken them to the office yet. And as they were talking after the presentation, they said 15 girls came back in and said, the applications aren't in the office. Can we get one? So I don't think they're going to have any problems filling that class. And it's kind of like a Shark Tank format. They kind of split it into three 10-week programs, or three 10 weeks, where they learn about starting a business, and they come up with their idea for a business, and then they actually create the business and present in front of a group of judges. So really exciting to have them working on that and partnering with our school. And then just the building note highlights. I love it. The high school kind of focusing on partnerships and talking about a potential partnership for apprenticeship opportunities. Early college high school, their math and science classes are going to be evaluating the building energy consumption, so that kind of ties into our sustainability goals. Middle school, Bunsell continues to work, really focus on their student achievement by offering more high school courses and really monitoring their student data to individualize what they're offering. Creekview, they have a morning radio show, and their students did some fundraisers so that they could purchase some new equipment, and they also did a fundraiser and supported the Wounded Warrior Project. So I thought that was kind of a nice combination between giving back to the community and also being creative to help support what they're working on there. Elementary schools, all of them had some wax museums at their building, and if anybody was lucky enough to attend those, it's just amazing. The students decide to do a project on some historical American figure, and they're sitting in their chairs, they're dressed up in these costumes, and you put your foot on a red button, and they stand up and they read about, some of them even memorize, but they tell you all about these figures, these historical figures, and it was so cute. And they're working on a lot of beautification projects and have some nice partnerships for that. So, and the last thing, I would like us to start thinking about a date where we could possibly have a workshop in June before our next board meeting, where we can talk about the goals that we set for this year, and then talk about what we want to do for next year, and also prepare for our evaluations of Mr. Johnson and Ms. Mankins that will be coming up in July. So I'll be sending out an email to you, but looking in that maybe the first or second week of June for some possible dates. So just kind of heads up for that. That's all I have. Next, Ohio High Point.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Let's start with some general updates from the superintendent. Recommended approval of some out-of-state trips. There are 5 students that will be competing in the National Health Occupations Leadership Conference. That will be in California. The dates are June 23rd through 28th. And Sally Andrews from Marysville will be a co-chaperone for that. Then there were 2 students that competed recently at the Business Professions of America National Leader Conference. I heard how that went, but I can report that out next month. Dr. Price met with Dr. I think it's Light, maybe? County Brown, I think, from Ohio University. Discussed future partnerships in providing career pathways for students in the allied health field. And apparently OU is opening a branch campus in Dublin. They're partnering with the Cardinal Health on that particular curriculum. And then for next school year, we're going to add a course. It's called Science and Society. And I think this was brought about by some partnership discussions with some local community stakeholders and businesses. But the course is designed to give students the scientific and media literacy, analytical, strategic thinking, problem-solving, and communication skills that they will need in their chosen career fields. That's a new course offering for next year. No special financial issues to speak of. A couple updates from the main campus. Director Shelley Sweeney. They had 8th graders tour the facility. That was mid-April. They participated in a number of various education job fairs at Bluffton University, Bowling Green, and Toledo. Was working on the budget this year, 16. Satellite updates. Deb Wharton talked about the plans with the architect for the health lab here, the STEM school, and that's scheduled for next year by second semester, my understanding. And then there's a lot of expansion at the Kent Northwood area, and that's really to support the IT curriculum, is my understanding. And they had a recent stakeholders tour of the STEM facility at Bell Fountain. Had a lot of positive comments from those folks as well for that STEM facility. A couple updates for teachers here in Marysville. The Teaching Professions Academy students have begun their final internship placements for the grading period, and they're portfolios were finished here in the first part of May. The career-based intervention update from Amy Nickel. The program's winding down with the final push for new merchandise here in the market, the Monarch Marketplace. A couple other things. We honored four students last month as students of the month. One of them was from Marysville, Safrina Yarger, if I have that right. She's a senior in the multimedia marketing technology. Great ambassador for the school, so it was really nice to be able to reward that certificate here. Last day for seniors is May 27th, so that would be, what, next Wednesday. It's 28th for juniors and teachers is the 29th. First day of class, teachers probably want me to say that, but it's always 18th schedule. 18th for High Point. And convocation is next Wednesday. Scheduled for 6:30. It'll be at High Point if the weather permits. Otherwise, it'll be at Belfield High School.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have a legislative report.
Not much to really report. There is in the state legislature focus on accountability for charter schools. There's several pieces of legislation there. There's also one bill in the House, one bill in the Senate that has to do with barricades for doors. I don't think we've done anything in that area, but they're looking at exceptions. You know, in one of the meetings that I attended, they were discussing people barricades in case there's a problem in the hall and you can lock the doors so people can't get in, but it also creates other problems if somebody locks the door and you can't get in during other times of the day. So, anyway, it's an issue that's on the minds of the legislature. The most important thing that's going on is the IED budgets, as I mentioned. There are no hearings that were scheduled this week, and I didn't see anything scheduled for next week either, which means that my guess is they're back when it's talking. I've been trying to set up a meeting with Senator Burke to talk to him. I had a brief conversation in his office here several weeks ago. But as was pointed out, this is an issue that's not just for schools, but for a number of different governments. And I know that many in the state legislature look at the current proposals and say that schools like Marysville are going to get more money over the next year or two, but our concerns are really looking out years 3, 4, 5. The loss of TPP is huge, as we've mentioned before. That's about 8 mills. And my message to Senator Burke is basically, we have an opportunity by continuing TPP or receiving money through the CAT Act to draw money from across the state to bring and fund the schools here in Marysville. Or the other option is at some point going to local property owners and asking for more money. So we would prefer not that. That's it.
Okay. Do we have a safety and drug committee report?
We did not have a meeting this month. We'll be meeting again next month. And we will be starting to schedule events for next year. So as soon as we get those coming in from the schools, then we'll start scheduling the events out. So we go back again for another meeting in June.
Okay.
So we'll have something to report next month.
Alrighty, sounds good. Next up, I need a motion to approve our minutes from our April 23rd meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant. I'll second that. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the resolution for bid and award for asphalt work in the district.
Skip the food service.
Oops, I skipped. Oh, I did. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, that's important. Well, they're all important. I need a motion to approve the resolution for the food service program with Marysville Public Library.
So moved.
And I'll second that. Any discussion?
Super excited for this partnership. I had an opportunity Joanne shared with the administrative team today. Really, this is our first shot at it, but really there's some long-term vision as well. But this summer, working with the library, we'll be able to serve Monday, Wednesday, Friday to students in Marysville for free. Students are they have to come with a parent. They certainly just don't want dropping off kids at the library, but certainly an opportunity to get, I believe she said, 2 hot meals, 1 cold meal during the week, and then get a book, relax if you want to, but certainly a great way to help our community and also hopefully get some literacy moving in the summer as well. So super collaboration. It's kind of been an up, down again, but we are in a good spot and it is moving forward. The possibility of using this building in the future because of the location to other communities close by that are high in poverty. So that might be a next year thing or the year after. Mm-hmm. So it'll continue to evolve. And if you know Joanne very well, she won't stop until it's top notch. So excited to try it this year for our community.
I'm excited from the standpoint. I mean, we have kids come to school and receive meals on the free reduced programs, and during the summer,
correct,
those kids are going to get hungry. So I'm excited that we're going to have an opportunity to help participate in this program. That's great.
And that's a federally funded program?
It is. Federally funded. Mm-hmm. I believe you got some attachments that explain the reimbursement and things of that nature.
Right, but yeah. And it seems like it just makes so much sense. I love the fact that they'll be going into the library for that. So
they are taking volunteers to help serve lunches. So if anyone's interested in volunteering, you can contact Joanne. I know some of our teachers are already signed up to do so.
So that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yes.
Will that start like right after school's out?
I don't have a start date, Mike. Do you? I think it's the week after school.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. Now, I will entertain a motion to approve the resolution for bid and award for asphalt work in the district. I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I actually have a second from
Dave.
Okay, from Mr. Smith. questions about this, discussion?
Certainly it allows us to do a little bit of catch-up work. So one of the goals with making changes in the PI fund earlier this year was to allow us to catch up on some of those things the district has been deferring for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it allows us to do Creekview, Raymond, and Edgewood, I believe, in order to catch up on some paving needs that have gone by the wayside.
I got
Yeah, Raymond, Edgewood, Creekview. And I know we spent an awful lot of time, or you spent an awful lot of time working on getting that PI budget.
Well, and I would just note from the budget perspective, we've got the PI forecast, we've got a certain amount set aside each year.
Right.
When you're looking at asphalt, it was really more of here's an average each year.
Right.
So it wasn't here's the exact amount you're going to spend. So what we're doing mm-hmm. with this one, Mike and Jeff worked a lot to figure out what projects needed the most. Mm-hmm. So we're spending a little above budget this year, but mm-hmm. we're going to, it's more efficient to do it that way, and
right.
then we're spending a little bit less than what we budgeted next year. But, I think we came in with some much less than what was anticipated based on the bids we received.
Okay, good. And I know I spent a little bit of time talking to Mike, and I know that they've really been looking at the quality and looking at how things have been done at different locations and what works better than other things. I feel like they've really done their homework, and so hopefully we'll be getting a good bang for our buck here. Any other questions? Okay, roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve the treasurer action items.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mrs. Powers. Any questions, or do you want to, anything you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, just a couple highlights.
You do have a few things.
One, on the appropriations, the big thing that sticks out there is an additional straight A grant, not nearly compared to the $12.5 million we got last year, but an additional $37,000, thanks to Ms. Mankin's work on getting those grants. So that's going to, you know, help save some money on some things we're already doing, as well as helping with some, you know, additional programs. Also wanted to note, we're approving a facility fee schedule in there. A lot of time was put into that because it is an issue that involves our community. And I can say, in comparison, we did a lot of comparison work, you know, what are other districts charging? And we are, you know, well below, a lot of times 2-3 times less than what other districts are charging. And, you know, that was purposeful that we stayed there, because we set the amounts not to make a profit, but to cover our costs, but also still keeping in mind, you know, we want the buildings to be accessible to the community.
Right. Now, I really appreciate the work that was done. And I think, you know, we wanted to have the costs reasonable, but also the way that you have redone it, it just makes it's much more easy to understand. You know, there's a little bit of confusion before, and it seemed like a couple of the different options were, if you're in group 3 or 4, the prices were the same, but so why did you have 2 different groups, kind of a thing. So, yeah, good work. Let's see. I know the 5-year forecast is on there, and so I kind of went over that. If there are no other questions, we'll take a roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have superintendent items. So I will entertain a motion to approve these items. I'll make that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Okay, discussion?
Are you looking at the HR items?
All of them. Yeah, all 3 items. Yeah, I mean, we'll go over all of them, because there's a lot of things in
the
here.
The end of this binder is all of the,
yeah.
The superintendent items. So it's quite a healthy chunk. You received a handbook for next year from every grade level. Also, you were given in the executive content section what the difference was in any of those publishings from last year, to make it a little bit easier. Fees are included in that. Fees are staying flat, with the exception of maybe if a new course is being offered at the high school that wasn't offered prior. Also, there's a resolution in there for the architect, mm-hmm. and also the construction manager at risk.
And that's for the health, that's
for the health wing at this building. So that last phase of approximately 11 classrooms in the Horseshoe area closest to Maple Street. Additionally, you will see in this section as well, and if I'm jumping around too much, just let me know. But we had a little hiccup in the school calendar. As you know, a couple years ago, we did a 3-year calendar. It was overlooked that this coming year is a leap year, so we had an extra work day in the calendar. So we made some revisions, and also worked with the union to add a few more student days in there to set up a calamity day schedule that was easier to understand for everyone. And so that is in there for next year as well.
I wanted to say that I really appreciated the fact that, you know, the first missed day, you're using one of the days off to make up, instead of starting with the blizzard bags,
right.
or starting with making them up, so that you actually have that teacher-student connection. So I appreciate everybody being willing to do that.
The idea was to make up a little bit sooner and get some days of instruction in earlier. So certainly had a couple options to that, and went to vote with the union, and are, you know, pleased with how that's come out as well. And our parents will know in advance.
Mm-hmm. We also have the list of graduates in there.
That's a pretty important one, too, isn't
it? Right.
Certainly a list of our graduating seniors. Senior breakfast is also tomorrow morning, so that's exciting. Nancy White cinnamon rolls are legendary.
Ooh.
Excited for that.
What time is that?
6:30 a.m. You can join us.
Sure, the board probably needs to check that out, right?
Are there questions I can answer on anything in my section? I know there's a lot of HR items in this section as well. We have been very aggressive in trying to fill positions early and have really, really been lucky to find some high-quality candidates, so we're pretty excited about that. We're sitting in a good spot with that. Also, the reemployment of our rehired people are on this agenda.
Right. I know one other thing I wanted to talk about, because we didn't talk about it too much last time, but last month we had the first reading of a bunch of new policies, and the majority of them, well, really pretty much all of them, I think, are due to state mandates. But the one that I wanted to point out is that there is a new policy covering the College Credit Plus, which I know you were at that meeting, but that's a big new policy because there's a lot of requirements for that. So again, just wanted to point that out. So this is the second reading. So at this point, we are approving these new policies. And I appreciate the time that they spent to draft those.
I wanted to mention that I get invited to policy meetings, and that Tim Canale heads a group within the school that looks at and vets all the policies. And there's a lot of discussion comparing their existing policies with what the changes are. Discussion as to whether it's appropriate for our particular situation and questions. So these are all vetted very, very well before they get recommended through the superintendent to us with principals and administrators and staff in the district really looking hard at all of the details and not just what the wording is, but how that wording is going to impact the district, what sort of changes are going to be required, what are we going to be doing, and is that the appropriate thing to do? Is it enough? Should it be more? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Here we are. We have comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith.
I was excited about going through the board notes and seeing all of the different partnerships and exploration of partnerships and internships. Things are going on. Also noted, as you pointed out, Bunsen's increasing high school courses, or courses at Bunsen for high school credit, which is great news, and that's exciting. So, last thing is just if you have an opportunity to contact your state representative or your state senator, let them know that you're interested in TPP and funding and changes and so forth. Every voice helps.
Just really excited to see all the new changes. Kind of really excited to see what goes on here next year once they get another class in. And I'll reiterate what Dick said about contacting Senator Burke and letting know as a community how we feel and what we need to do to move forward to keep our schools and in our community on top. So just if you guys could all put that push on the ground.
Thank you for the presentation. Excited about the graduation this weekend. Talking to a lot of teachers and staff, and I'm looking forward to getting a little rest this summer. I know that summer's coming because I live across from Mill Valley, and they did field day today, and they had the biggest blow-up slide I've ever seen. Two stories, so that looked like fun. So I hope everybody has a great summer. It's been a good year. Interesting and challenging, but a very good year. Thanks to everybody on staff this year.
I have to say a little something about the slides. My son was telling me, got out of the car this morning, and he looked at my son and said,
My heart's beating so fast. I'm going down that lane more than once.
So they were all excited about that field day.
I'd like to thank both parties as far as the negotiation. I think that went well. And
yes.
I hope that was a good, healthy process for all people. So thank you.
Mr. Johnson?
I guess I would just echo the sentiments regarding the state budget. You know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from staff, from parents, just noting, you know, I just sent out 15 emails, right?
Right.
You know, I just did this or that. So it's been encouraging so far, and just encourage us to keep it up.
I would just add, today we had admin council where principals started to report out on their work plans for the year. Certainly, as you look at our strategic plan that we put in place last year, it's great to see our arrows headed in the same direction. Our path to get there is different, but certainly seeing those arrows aligned, emphasis on technology and student achievement, and I think you heard that again this evening with the presentation on language arts, so excited to have that direction moving forward. I would also like to comment on negotiations. Certainly, we recognize the fact that the district has gone through some very difficult times, and had staff not stepped up to the challenge of taking freezes even prior to my arrival, we wouldn't be in the financial situation we are now. So we continue to honor and celebrate the collaboration that we can have with the union. That's unique here. It doesn't happen everywhere. And so it's a special opportunity. I would also say that we haven't had the greatest month with some things that have happened in the district. And certainly we've collaborated on both of those situations and had ongoing conversation and building a trusting relationship, which is only going to benefit our students in the long run. So pleased that that's developing so well. I would say on a side note, too, with the situations we have been dealing with, we'll continue to push forward. It's important for the district, and I think the board, we've talked, for the board to act in a professional manner and continue to stay the course with doing right by the process and doing right by our employees, and we'll let the facts unfold as they will.
And I mean, just to tie onto that, thank you so much, because I do think you've done a very amazing job, very professional, making sure that we're respecting everybody involved in the process. So so we appreciate that, because it's definitely been difficult. So we will move forward. I wanted to thank Mrs. McInnes again. Don't think she's here anymore. And the other presentation, thank you, Mrs. Loftus, Mrs. Savage. Again, excited about graduation. And so instead of doing a national whatever month, I just thought it was more important to commend our seniors and to thank our staff really for their dedication and good work with all of our students this year. And so have a great summer. And thanks. And with that, how about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Levine?
Yes. Motion carries, and the meeting is adjourned at 8:00.